United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is now open and in session. God save the United States and His Honorable Court.
Good morning. Please be seated. First case for argument this morning is 16-2597, Gold Standard Instruments v. Endotronics. Mr. Lieberman, whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Chief Judge Prost, and may it please the Court, my name is Steve Lieberman. In its final written decision, the Board expressly held that for each of the two obviousness grounds, the Mazzutani ground and the Kuhn ground, Mazzutani and Kuhn respectively did not disclose the required element of heat treating the entire shank of the endodontic file. And it never, at any point in the decision, identified where that element was disclosed by any other reference in either of the two combinations. So you have a missing element. Reaching the conclusion that it would have been obvious to modify the relied upon references to add that element, the Board made at least three procedural errors with respect to each ground, errors that this Court has found requires at least remand, and we would suggest reversal. Those three errors are the following. One, the Board never discussed whether a person of ordinary skill would have had a motivation to change the references by adding heat treating the entire shank with a reasonable expectation of success. Indeed, the words reasonable expectation of success are entirely absent from the final written decision. They don't appear anywhere in the decision. Number two.
What do you mean in that context by reasonable expectation of success? Reasonable expectation of success in what?
Right. So
what's the accomplishment that the in heating the entire shank
right
achieves that isn't achieved by heating, say, three quarters of the shank?
Right. So probably the closest reference in this case is a patent to a fellow named Mazzutani.
Yeah, I understand. We're with you on that.
Right. And in the Mazzutani reference, Mazzutani says, well, let me take a step back as to the sort of the physics of the file.
Well, I'm actually asking a much more discreet question. What I'm asking, and it was a problem that I had all the way through here, was what is it that is the big advantage? What's the big leap forward by heating the entire file as opposed to just heating three quarters of it?
Okay. So Mazzutani explains exactly what the problem is. If you heat the
Mazzutani says there's a problem potentially.
Right. That's right.
If you heat the whole file.
Right.
My question is, what is it that your invention does that it makes it an advantage to heat the entire file?
Okay. Heating the entire file, according to Lupke, and for 17 years, from 1988, when nickel titanium files were first introduced, nobody heat treated the nickel titanium files. It was thought that having a super elastic file, one that would bend as it went through a curved root canal, and then spring back, was a valuable thing. Lupke thought that there was a problem with that. And he said, what I want to do is I want to eliminate or reduce the superelastic characteristic so that the file is sort of floppy, almost like a piece of clay, so you can mold it to the shape of the canal, and when you put it into the root canal, it traces exactly the path of the root. All right, so that was what he was dealing with. He was dealing with the problem of non-heat-treated superelastic files. Now, the Mazzutani reference says...
Let me ask you something, just building on to the questions that have been asked by Judge Bryson. Where in your patent does it say that heat-treating the entire shank is important or provides some value? And, in fact, where does it say that you would heat-treat the entire shank?
Right. So the claims say heat treat the entire shank.
What about in the written description?
The specification also talks about heat treating the entire shank.
Where is that?
The words entire shank, I believe, appear throughout the specification in a number of places.
Okay.
There is not an express discussion of heat treating the entire shank versus three quarters. Because Mazzutani was very close.
Why does it say why you want to heat treat the entire shank?
The reason you want to heat treat.
In the specification. What is the reason given?
Yes, because it provides flexibility where the file is not going to be springing back.
I'm sorry, are you referring to, can you cite to us the specific sections in the specification? You're talking about what the specification says now, right?
Yeah, the specification does not specifically deal with the question of heating three quarters versus the whole thing.
Okay.
The patent talks about the importance of heat treating the product so that the file itself, so it's flexible. Mazzutani was only a short period of time before this patent application was filed. So Luki wasn't addressing in the specification three quarters versus the whole. But what Mazzutani says is you may have a problem that the rotational axis will not be fixed if you heat treat the whole thing, meaning it's going to wobble. And when you have a file in a root canal, in a tooth, and it's wobbling, you don't have a fixed rotational axis, it's going to be ripping away live tooth. And that's a real problem. It would be analogous to, you know, a teaching which says, if you're building a skyscraper, don't use an I-beam that is less than a certain width, because if you do, the building may fall down. Right? So that's equivalent to what Mazzutani is saying. He's saying you should not heat treat more than three quarters, because if you do, you'll have a wobbly rotational axis, and that's a big problem. Luki's invention from the very beginning, it's reflected in the claims, say heat treat the entire shank.
And how does Luki get around the perceived Mazzutani problem of the rotational axis issue?
Well, that was actually a point that the PTAB addressed, and I would say in doing so it erred as a matter of law. It looked to Luki's own work and said Luki never found the problem with heat treating the entire shank.
Right.
But they're not allowed to look at the inventor's own work in making the invention. This is classic hindsight bias. Mazzutani specifically warned, don't do this. This is the closest reference. It says, don't do this, and if you do this, you may have this big problem. Luki, when he heat treated the entire shank, didn't have that problem. Maybe he didn't have it because of the temperature he used, or the time, or a particular technique, but he didn't have a problem with it. But Luki's own work is not prior art that can be looked to. It's not something that a person of ordinary skill can look to. And this court has said again and again, you can't look at the inventor's own work, which concededly is not prior art.
Sure. I want to ask you to go back to the question I had earlier. I had asked you whether your specification talked about heat treating the entire shank. You said it says entire several times. I don't see it in there at all, and so I'm struggling with your answer.
Right. Your Honor, the specification talks about heat treating the file. I don't believe it uses the word entire. It talks about heat treating the file. During the prosecution of one of the related applications, Mazzutani was cited, and the words entire shank were put into the claims to get over Mazzutani.
Is there anywhere in the specification where it talks about why you want to, I mean, it just says heat treat the file, but is there any discussion at all of why that's advantageous? Other than the idea of, you know, as compared to not treating the entire file.
The specification doesn't address heat treating the entire file versus heat treating three quarters.
Yeah.
The specification is focused on heat treating the file, which nobody had done in the 17 years since nickel titanium files had been introduced. That is, they've been on the market since 1988. This application was filed in 2005. There were a lot of nickel titanium files that were sold. Nobody had ever heat treated them. Now, you have some academic articles, and that's what the PTAB was relying on, and you have the Mazzutani patent. But nobody had actually come out with a product which says, heat treat the nickel titanium files. This was the big invention. Now, the closest piece of prior art was Mazzutani. And Mazzutani specifically warned against, and this is very similar to the Dow Chemical versus Mie Industries case, where you had the prior art saying that 2% was an operational maximum. And the PTAB said, well, I find that 2% teaches or suggests 2 to 8%. And the Federal Circuit reversed and said, no, that's not the case. This is Dow Chemicals versus me. You have an operational maximum set out in a piece of prior art which teaches away from what's in Lupke's claims.
What about the Kuhn prior art? That's prior art where it doesn't say that the entire file is treated, but it does say heat treating the file.
Right. So the PTAB made a factual finding that Kuhn did not disclose heat treating the entire file. It said that Gold Standard has argued for anticipation that all of these elements are here. And they said, we find that Kuhn does not adequately disclose heat treating the entire file.
Because it didn't expressly say it.
Well, what he did was he was cutting the files up and he was heat treating only little pieces of the files. That's what the PTAB found. He was cutting up the files and he was doing that because he wanted to see what the effect would be on the metal of the heat treatment. What the effect of the metal would be on the heat treatment.
Can I ask just a mundane question? I'm sorry, a mundane question about the figures, which I want to make sure I've got it right. If you look at figure 1A of the Lupke patent, you got it there?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah. Now, there, the specification refers to 1B, which is circled there on 1A as being the shank. Is the shank just the fluted part that is shown, part of which is shown in 1B, or does the shank include 42 going all the way up to what I guess you would call the handle?
The shank includes 42. The fluted portion is what's known as the working part of the shank.
Okay, well, 1B in the specification says, okay, it's a partial detailed view of the shank, but you mean then the shank is all the way up to the handle?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And what Mazzantani says is it talks about a maximum of 3/4 only of the working portion. Mm-hmm. So the claim here is heat treating the entire shank, not just the working portion, but the part that goes all the way up to the handle.
All right.
So a number of the other
the part that goes all the way up to the handle, presumably, that part doesn't go into the tooth, I take it.
No, the part that cuts is the part with the flutes. That's what's called the working portion.
Right, and that's the portion that you want to have capable of curving with memory, shape memory.
My understanding is that you would also want the non-working portion to be flexible to give the endodontist more ability to bend the file so that it can, you know, follow the root. He or she has to go on a particular angle and a mouth, and having the additional flexibility all the way up to the handle is an advantage.
Okay. You're well into your rebuttal. So
yes, I'd like to reserve some rebuttal time, although if there are outstanding questions the panel has right now, I'd be happy to answer them now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Jeff Ginsburg for Appellee U.S. Endodontics. Just in response to some of Mr. Lieberman's arguments, Mr. Lieberman argued, and Appellant GSI, in its brief, cited Personal Web for the proposition that the Board has to find that a person of ordinary skill in the art would have been motivated to combine the prior art in the way claimed and would have a reasonable expectation of success. This is precisely what the Board found for both the Mazzutani ground and the Kuhn ground. The references in each of these grounds make abundantly clear that if you heat treat the shank of a nickel titanium file, if you subject it to heat treatment, you will achieve the claimed deformation. The Board, in so finding, properly relied on the testimony of U.S. Endo's expert, Dr. John Goldberg, regarding the motivation to heat treat the entire shank as opposed to just a portion, citing specifically Dr. Goldberg's testimony that heat treating an entire shank would be easier and less expensive. This is on, you can find that in the final determination, page 27 of the appendix.
Can I ask you about, it's at appendix 28, where your friend, I think, referenced Mazzutani as teaching the way, and the Board clearly did not make that finding. But they have a paragraph that's a little odd to me on page 28, where they suggest that they acknowledge that he suggests it may be a potential problem. So I'm not talking about teaching the way, but at least a potential problem. But they sort of don't toss that aside because they say the record before us does not include any evidence that the problem he prophesized ever actually materialized. Is that the way we would look at it? I mean, if somebody suggests there's going to be a problem, we're looking at the art, and we use that, do you also have to show that, indeed, it ended up being a problem?
Well, in addition to that, Your Honor, the board did make that statement. But in addition, they also cited Dr. Goldberg's testimony, specifically paragraphs 201 and 203 to 206 of his declaration, where Dr. Goldberg, at length, went through the partial heat treatment methods of Matsutani. These are needle-like files that are used as drills and root canals where you're heat treating the nickel-titanium portion. And nickel-titanium, of course, is a metal. It conducts heat. So if you were to practice a partial heat treatment method, you had to use some alternative cooling means. Matsutani talks about dipping a portion in a cooling solution, somehow putting an insulating sleeve around these little files that are mass-produced. And Dr. Goldberg spoke in length about how this would be something that would be very difficult and expensive, providing the motivation not to do that, to try heat treating the entire shank. Regarding the disclosure in Matsutani, where it says...
Can I go back to Judge Prost's question, please?
Sure.
I think I have the same concern, where it says the record before us does not include any evidence that the problem Matsutani prophesized ever actually materialized. The question I think I heard was, is that really required for a teaching away?
I don't think that
would seem to swallow the whole rule if it were required.
Yeah. Your Honor, I don't believe that's something that's actually required, but that's not all the board relied on. And also important to
note... But you're not defending, I take it, what the board said.
I'm saying it's additive, I believe, to what the board found.
Do you think it's right?
I actually think in looking at all of the evidence, and it's something that informed the board's decision, I think it's something that could be taken into consideration. Because and Judge Bryson, to get back to your questioning of Mr. Lieberman, one thing that's very important to note, that GSI's counsel acknowledged that the disclosure of the 773 patent does not attribute any significance to heat treating the entire shank, as opposed to just a portion. And if you look at the disclosure of Matsutani, all it says is that if you heat treat more than 3/4 of the working portion of the shank, you may have a problem. All this talk about wobbling, et cetera, that's Mr. Lieberman's argument. No expert mentioned the word wobble at all. And all it says is that there may be a problem if you heat treat...
Well, Matsutani refers to the rotational axis problems, which I actually interpreted as wobble. But maybe both I and Mr. Ginsburg are wrong. Mr. Lieberman are wrong.
I think you're right that it does say may, and your expert has lots of reasons for why it might not teach away, and it is a fact-finding. But the specific question is, do you think that it's required that the problem ever actually materialize?
I don't think that's a requirement, Your Honor, but I do think that the board's decision is supported by, it didn't rely just on that statement. It specifically cited the paragraphs from Dr. Goldberg's declaration that I specifically mentioned, paragraphs 201, 203 to 206. In paragraph 203, Dr. Goldberg goes on at length as to why he believed that the problem would not occur, or a person of skill in the art would be motivated to heat treat the entire shank. Again, recognizing that it's less expensive and less difficult to heat the entire shank, but he acknowledged and he's aware that these files come in different diameters, different thicknesses. And the potential problem, only a potential problem that Matsutani referenced, that a problem may occur, would be less likely to occur, according to Dr. Goldberg, on thicker files, thereby providing motivation for a person with skill in the art to heat treat the entire shank, as the board found.
Can I ask you a process question, because these process questions just come up with increasing frequency when we're all learning about these PTAB proceedings. And one that your friend raises is that I think you relied on Kuhn for anticipation and not for obviousness, and the board rejected that when it instituted, but then went on to evaluate the claims in light of Kuhn as obvious. Do you see a procedural problem, particularly one with respect to adequate notice?
So in terms of adequate notice, the problem identified of just not heat treating the entire shank was specifically argued and discussed by both the petitioner and the patent owner and addressed by the board. Regarding Kuhn and the Kuhn ground, The board, and it was discussed in everyone's papers, this was not a new issue that was raised, as GSI's counsel has proposed. Specifically, the board cited paragraphs from Dr. Goldberg that talked about Kuhn in combination with the other references that make up that ground as providing the motivation to heat treat the entire shank. In addition to noting Kuhn's disclosures, the board recognized that McSpadden and Pelton also describe heat treating medical tools that include a nickel titanium component. That's right in their decision. That's at the appendix in page 17. McSpadden in particular teaches heat treating a fully formed endodontic file, which of course includes the entire nickel titanium shank, in order to achieve a desired degree of superelasticity and or to set a desired file shape, such as pre-curved, meaning when you bend it, it stays bent. That's the exact problem that Dr. Loopy, stated was his invention, that you would heat treat portion of the nickel titanium file such that when you bend it, it stays bent. You heat treat it, you want to raise its shape recovery temperature to above body temperature, so when you're actually using this file, it's going to bend. It's not going to spring back. It's going to follow the root canal. To Judge Bryson's question of Mr. Lieberman, when you're using this file, that's a portion of the file. A portion of the file that's heat-treated, as disclosed by Masatani and suggested by the references in the Kuhn ground, is a portion of the file that goes in the patient's tooth. It's achieving the very goals that Dr. Lupke says he invented, that Mr. Lieberman says Dr. Lupke invented. That's precisely the problem that Mr. Lieberman says, this was a cat's pajamas in the reply brief. So everybody thought you wouldn't remove the superelasticity. Well, the references that make up both the Masutani ground and the Kuhn ground make it clear that it was not Dr. Lupke's invention. He was not the one who thought of heat treating a nickel titanium file, a portion of that file, so that you would remove the superelasticity. That was well known in the prior art. That was known in Masutani, that was known in Kuhn, and in combination with the references that the board relied on, and that included Dr. Goldberg's testimony. Regarding the motivation to combine, in both the Masutani and Kuhn grounds, the board specifically considered the evidence of record, including the testimony of Dr. Goldberg, in finding that it would have been obvious to modify and or combine the cited references to heat treat the entire shank as opposed to just a portion. As mentioned, it's going to avoid, indisputably, the difficulties and added expense of having these additional steps just to partially heat treat the file. And Your Honors, with that, unless there's any additional questions for the reasons discussed today and in U.S. Endo's briefs, it is U.S. Endo's position that the board's decision should be affirmed. And unless there's any further questions, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to make four brief points. The first addresses the question that you had asked, Chief Judge Prost, about procedure. With respect to at least the Kuhn ground, U.S. Endo never raised in its briefs to the board, either of its briefs, an obvious to try or finite number of alternatives argument. They did not make that argument. If you search their briefs, you won't find obvious to try, you won't find the words finite number of alternatives or anything like that. It is not in their briefs. This was an argument that the board raised on its own in a decision to which we did not have the opportunity to respond.
Did you ask for reconsideration?
We did not, Your Honor. Asking for reconsideration, as you know, with the board is, we didn't think, given all the errors in the board's decision, that that was the appropriate forum to address this. Because we saw at least four procedural errors, and we thought it would be better to bring those issues to this court.
Did it come up in oral argument?
Oh, it did come up in oral argument. But it did not come up in the briefs. It was not an argument made in the briefs at all. And it wasn't an argument made in the briefs at all because their only argument with respect to Kuhn was that Kuhn was an anticipatory reference. And when the board found that it wasn't anticipatory, the board had to cobble together. And I don't mean that in a derogatory fashion. They had to cobble together an obviousness argument. And they chose a logical path that had not been argued by U.S. Endo, and thus it wasn't one to which we had the opportunity to respond.
Well, I don't understand then your answer to Judge Stoll's question about whether it came up in oral argument. Did it come up in a way that you got to respond? I mean, if it came up, it came up, right? So how did it come up?
There were questions in oral argument about different ways of doing things.
But questions aimed at you that you responded to?
I don't remember to whom the questions were asked, but it doesn't matter. When something is raised only for the first time at oral argument, this court, in the Inri Nuvasiv case, has made very clear it's too late. It's waived. This court has dealt many times, not just with that issue coming up in appeals from PTAB proceedings, but when parties raise arguments for the first time in an oral argument in this court.
Now, this would affect, I take it, only the Kuhn ground and not the Matsutani ground for obviousness.
Yes, there was a reference at page 4 to 5 of the reply brief with respect to the Matsutani ground. So the issue was, although only obliquely raised, it was raised with respect to Matsutani.
I'm sorry, I missed what... Are you saying that the argument you're just now making about the problem with Kuhn,
right,
that doesn't apply to Matsutani?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. The second point is with respect to Goldberg. Goldberg's conclusory declaration, let's put aside conclusory for a second, only deals with the issue of expense and ease of use. Again, going back to the I-beam example, if a piece of prior art says, you shouldn't have an I-beam that's less than a certain width, because if you do, the building may fall down. And somebody says, but I can use a lighter I-beam, it's easier to get in and it's cheaper to buy. That doesn't deal with the issue. And that's what Matsutani was saying. You may have this lack of fixed rotational axis, which is going to cause this terrible problem with the tooth. And the response is, well, but it would be cheaper to heat the whole thing. Now, how did the board deal with that? The board never addressed that. And that's why this court's rulings, which say you have to deal with reasonable expectation of success, are so important. This court, in an opinion by Judge Lurie last week, a Honeywell case, dealt with an almost identical situation at the Slope opinion at pages 11 and 12. They said that you have to deal with reasonable expectation of success, and you cannot shift the burden to the patentee to show that the prior, that, that a person of ordinary skill would have thought that the invention was unworkable. That's exactly what the panel did at pages 18 and 27 of the appendix. They shifted the burden. They said GSI has not proven that it would be unworkable to do X. They've shifted the burden. And they never discussed the question of what do you do with the Matsutani problem and how do you weigh that against it's less expensive? Would a person of ordinary skill have said, okay, maybe it's not such a big risk. He used the word may. He didn't say it will. But if I can save 20%, the board didn't even talk about that issue. And that's absolutely critical. Also, Your Honor had asked me questions about the specification. Let me give you two specification sites. Column 6, lines 49 to 55, and column 9, lines 19 to 23, talk about the rationale for heat treating the file. I see my time is up. I have a concluding point, if the court would permit.
A brief one?
On the issue of McSpadden, which Mr. Ginsburg mentioned, the McSpadden reference is very clear, and this is Appendix 2354 and 2365-66. All three of the embodiments in McSpadden are described as being stiffer, not more flexible, not less firm, and the abstract also says the file is stiffer than comparable files fabricated from conventional high tie. McSpadden is teaching away just as Matsutani is. Thank you, Your Honors.
We thank both sides. The case is submitted.